Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning from Stuttgart. Welcome to the financial results of the first half year 2019. I hope you have the presentation available. It is on our website. We're sharing it in the webcast, so you should be able to follow. Please immediately go to slide two. Let's jump in. Highlights of the first half year. We have seen a further expansion of client and sector diversification at GFT. We have seen 20% growth in the not top two client group, which was 19% in Q1, so we increased it to 20%. The drivers are unchanged. It is around cloud, it is business development in agile methodology, it is Guidewire and other exponential technologies. The revenue share of insurance was still at 11%, and we overall saw revenues par with the year before. Adjusted EBITDA is up 7%, but please remember that the IFRS 16 effects are quite big. As expected, the earnings, the EBT of the first half is burdened by underutilization and restructuring. We'll come back to that later. The outlook for the year is unchanged and confirmed. Last but not least, we had a good start into the second half year. Maybe you've read that we have acquired a small company in the industrial sector here in Germany with roughly 100 employees, strengthening our tech base for industrial clients. We started our internal Guidewire competence center in Poland and in Spain to follow up on the strong demand for Guidewire implementation. Let's jump into the numbers. Slide number three. The key figures, we see the revenue number for the first half year, 211.03 million euros. It's kind of spot on compared to the first half of 2018. Vineo contributed 10.2 million euros of revenue, so if you take that out, we're down 5% organically. EBITDA adjusted, heavily influenced by our IFRS 16, tongue breaker for me, 7% up compared to the year before, similar in the EBITDA. In EBIT, most of the IFRS 16 effects are already out of the equation. It's only 500K, which it has lifted in the first half 2019 compared to 2018. At the EBT level, IFRS 16 doesn't have any role at all. That is really comparable, and we're down 43% compared to the first half of 2018. Main drivers already mentioned the first quarter, they have not heavily changed. We have restructuring charges worth nearly 2.9 million euros in the first half of 2019. First half 2018, it was only 300K. That's a strong increase. We see currency effects of -700K, which was exactly the same number in the first half of 2018. Last but not least, we mentioned already last time that we see underutilization, which mainly hit us in Q1. It is still roughly at 1.4 million. Not much happened or added to that in the second quarter of this year. A topic not mentioned here, but ongoing, and you know it because I mention it every time, are higher sales cost compared to the year before. We are compensating our top two revenue with new business, but the top two revenue is happening on a very efficient sales cost level, while the new business takes more sales effort. Roughly 4% on 25 million of compensated revenue, which costs us roughly 1 million in the first half year. This will stay for the time being. We have to grow those accounts into a more efficient size. Comes at a benefit, and the benefit is a significantly improved client structure. Coming back to that in a second. Slide number four. Let's move forward and look at the quarter at hand. Q2, compared to the second quarter 2018, is up slightly by 1 million. Although we had roughly 2% less billable days in that time period, so that's okay development. When we take the full half year, billable days were more or less the same number in 2019 and 2018. Therefore, for the full half year, the billable days are quite matching. When we look at the earnings, we have highlighted the IFRS 16 effects for you. We do see that we are pretty much in line with the first quarter. Only IFRS is a bit lower than before. Okay, I think that's it to say about this. In Q3, Q4, we do expect improvements over the first half, of course, because we have reiterated our guidance. Going forward to slide number five, revenue by segment. Let's start with the business segment Americas and UK. Here we are up 5% in revenues. This comes mainly from M&A and a bit of FX effect supporting. M&A is Vineo in Canada. The organic development is mainly driven by our top two clients, where we have a decline, especially in the UK, from Deutsche Bank. When we look at continental Europe, we're down 4%. Here it is all organic because no M&A and FX effects. And here again, it is contributed to the top two clients that you know. And now let's go on to slide 6, which is just a deeper information for what we have seen on slide number 5, and it differentiates between the top two and all other clients. So the top two clients for Americas and UK, continental Europe combined, is down 27%. That is the last block of the table, top two for the GFT group, minus 27. This is in line with what we have expected. And we saw the sharpest decline in the UK, especially Deutsche Bank investment banking saving budgets, and in Germany, where the local retail banking is saving budgets as well. When we go into the other clients, let's do it now segment by segment. We see Americas and UK up 51% in other clients. Of course, Vineo is contributing to this. If you exclude Vineo, it's still roughly 27-28% organic increase of other clients. Here we do see strong growth in all the markets. UK, US, both up 20% and 15%. Brazil up 30% and Mexico up nearly 100% in revenue. So we see growth across the board in all the markets. We see growth in Vineo markets in Canada. So it is all about the top two clients that are only giving us a 5% growth for total Americas and UK. Coming to continental Europe, here we are only up 2% for the other clients. We see growth in Italy, in Germany, and in the other markets in Europe, but Switzerland is below our expectations and previous year numbers, and we see Banco Sabadell, especially at their subsidiary TSB, also saving some budgets. Therefore, it's a only 2% increase in the other clients in continental Europe. We hope to increase the number throughout the year to get closer to a 10%, which we wanted to achieve. All in all, when you look at the GFT group, other clients are up 20%, as already indicated on the highlights slide. Client concentration, the top two clients after 6 months of 2019 stand for 32% of our revenues. When we look into 2018, that was still 40%. So from 40, we reduced to 32, and it's going to continue throughout 2019. Let's see if it's going to be 30% or below the 30% line at the end of the year. Moving forward, slide number 7, EBITDA adjusted and EBT. Let me mention again that EBITDA adjusted and EBITDA here is again heavily influenced by IFRS 16, where it especially improves the numbers in continental Europe, because for GFT, IFRS 16 is relevant for lease contracts, cars, but mainly office building, office rent, which is turned around by IFRS 16 into depreciation. And therefore, the impact is bigger on continental Europe, and it is smaller on Americas and UK, roughly one-fourth, three-fourths, which is in line with the employees, which are mostly sitting in continental Europe. So for that reason, I would do the analysis rather for the EBT number, which is comparable, no IFRS 16 there. And there we see that in Americas and UK, we are at minus 200K, and the main drivers, well, they are repetitive, right? The decreasing revenues with the top two clients in that market, and therefore missing margins, and the higher sales cost. In that margin especially, we have Vineo inside, but Vineo on an EBT level in the first half year was contributing a negative number of minus 300K, which is only related to M&A effects. So it is PPA adjustments and earnout. Throughout the year, Vineo will have a positive impact also on EBT, but after 6 months, that was negative. And of course, all this is hurting the Americas and UK line. Continental Europe, here we do see we're only down 7%, pretty close to last year, although we had the majority of the restructuring and underutilization of that market. In a nutshell, it is working quite well. Rather now do the analysis for the GFT group. When we compare the first half 19 to 18, what are the main impacts? Well, first of all, in GFT, we have 10 million less revenues. If you take out Vineo, we miss margin from that. roughly $500,000 negative impact. We have Vineo, which is contributing revenue, but an EBT of minus $300,000. So that's already nearly $800,000 from business. We have higher sales cost, which I already mentioned. It's 4% on the decline with the top two clients, so roughly $1 million. We have restructuring, which is far higher than the year before, minus 2.6. And last but not least, we have underutilization worth minus 1.4 million compared to 2018. So this adds up to roughly 5.5 million, which explains the gap between 19 and 18. Of these effects, most should go away and should be one time, restructuring, underutilization, and also the Vineo M&A effects. But the DB share in higher sales cost is the one that will remain, because as long as we have to compensate reducing top two client revenues, there will be a higher sales cost. On top, we are currently overspending on sales in the US and the UK, because we believe those markets, and you have seen the growth rates there, they offer us significant potential for further revenues via new technologies. And therefore, that's where our sales investments go. That's why the Americas and UK line is still below the zero mark at the moment. All right, let's move forward. Slide number 8, revenue breakdown by country. The negative countries, United Kingdom, Germany, USA, all influenced by the top two clients. So that's the main driver. These countries are in negative territory. If you take out top two, all three countries have growth rates of at least 15% with all other clients. Important to know. We do see countries with a stronger growth, which is Mexico, nearly doubling compared to 2018 first half year. We see Brazil, good improvement, more than 30% up. Italy is up 10%. And last but not least, we started operations in France with a client in the insurance business, so we come from nearly nothing and now reached 4.5 million of revenues there. What stands out negatively is Switzerland, where we are down 35%. Here, local business currently is quite weak, especially as Avaloq implementation projects are scarce. Moving forward, slide number 9, our 30 biggest clients for the first half year of 2019, and there's always a blue box around those clients that are new to the list compared to a year ago. So here we have 7 new entries, of which 3 are more or less Vineo related. They are all in the insurance area, so Industrielle Alliance comes from Vineo and La Capitale. Massif is a client we, to be honest, grew together. That was already under GFT owning Vineo, so it's a half-half new client. The real GFT new clients you see in banking is Crédit Agricole in Italy. We see Sulamerica here. We have Google inside in the industry and others. Google as an end client to GFT, nearly 2 million of revenues, so strong growth there. And we see Trumpf for the first time on this list with 1.3 million euros in a half year, so they now made it to the list as well. One more comment for Google. We do Google and, of course, also Amazon and Microsoft Azure implementations for our clients. They would be visible inside the clients. For example, HSBC implementing Google platforms would be revenues with HSBC. Only if we directly contract with Google, we would show it under the name Google. So the total cloud revenue is bigger than Google alone, of course. Here we only reflect the Google client itself. When we look at the bottom right of the slide, we see that banking stood for nearly 80% of the revenues in the first half year, insurance 11%, and 8% comes from industry and other clients. Let's go to the P&L on slide number 10. Again, as usual, not so much to mention. Let me maybe point out the personnel expenses increase of 9%. What are the main drivers here? Well, first of all, Vineo is included, of course. The restructure costs are included. And when you please look at cost purchased services, which is mainly freelancers and other external services, we have significantly reduced those and replaced by our own employees. So therefore, we internally always combine cost of purchased services and personnel expenses. And if you do that and then compare it to the revenue, that ratio has gotten worse by 2%. So we lost 2% here, coming from 78, now at 80%, which in the end is the higher sale cost and the underutilization we were already talking about. But 2% looks far different to the 9% that the P&L itself is showing for personnel expenses. Important to understand that. One other thing I would like to mention, IFRS 16, I think we're slowly getting used to it. It heavily reduces other operating expenses, and it heavily increases depreciation and amortization. So that's where we change P&L lines, and that's why the EBITDA is so heavily impacted. Last but not least, tax rate. After 6 months in 19, tax rate stood at 15%, and you know we have guided and we are still expecting a tax rate for the full year of 12 to 15%. Last year, after 6 months, tax rate was very low, was only 6, and it ended for the full year at 12%. So we are in line with previous year, only first half last year looked exceptionally good, maybe too good, and then it normalized. And this year, we already have the tax rate we're expecting for the full year. Moving forward, slide number 11, cash flow. As you can see, on a net cash basis, we started the year on the very left of the chart with minus 59.7 million euros, and now at the end of the second quarter, we are at minus 70. So we lost net cash of roughly 10 million, which is mainly attributable to increasing working capital. Therefore, operating cash flow was okay. We saw a build-up in working capital, especially compared to the end of Q1, but that is quite normal for the summer season. So it will start improving, usually after the Q3 reporting. Sorry, not the Q3 reporting, but the Q3 number. So from October, the number improves again. All other KPIs on this chart are in line with what we have been expecting. I move forward to slide number 12, the balance sheet. A lot of text, but overall, no fundamental change. Only the IFRS 16 effects, which make the balance sheet bigger today than it was at the end of 2018, when IFRS 16 was not yet applicable. So we do see that the non-current assets are increased by roughly 60 million because of IFRS 16. It looks like we have bought our rent contracts. This is what IFRS asked us to do. And how did we finance it? Well, IFRS says, and this is on the right side, in the non-current liabilities, you increase your liabilities as if you have financed it somehow magically. I'm not a fan of this IFRS 16, but we have to do it. Here it is. However, the overall balance sheet has not changed at all. Moving forward, slide number 13, employees by country. We do see Vineo inside now, just like they were in Q1, Q4, and Q3. Only Q2 of 18, Vineo was not yet included because the acquisition was closed at the beginning of Q3. When we look inside, what is interesting, we do see expanding FTE numbers in Mexico and Brazil in line with the growth we currently experience. We do see declining numbers in Poland and Spain, both reflecting our top two nearshore purchase reductions. In Spain, we believe we will stabilize on the number of 1,800. In Poland, we are already heavily searching for new experts, for other experts, other expertise, because we see a strong growth trend coming from the UK going for our Polish resources. So that's why we will see the numbers change over time in the second half. All right, coming to slide number 14, which is the outlook for 2019. Main message, the outlook is confirmed as it was given at the beginning of March, 420 million in revenues. We expect EBITDA adjusted at 48 million, of which 13 is IFRS 16, and the EBT at 18 million. This is unchanged. When we look at the revenues, well, the trends will not change. The top two clients will decline by roughly 30%. We will compensate via the other clients. Here the growth will be over 20%, and we will have the Vineo numbers inside. We will see the acquisition that we've done in Germany, Exum, so the little company in the industry sector, contribute maybe 3 million of revenues to those numbers. While we have not changed the revenue guidance for this purpose, and you know, as we have done 211 million in the first half year, if you take this times two, we're quite well on track for the 420. So maybe on the revenue side, currently the 420 are a bit conservative, but that is not our main driver for the year 2019, that's the earnings. And in the earnings, well, I have described the trends. Restructuring will now normalize, will not be that much different to the year 2018 second half. Underutilization has stabilized. So it's more or less about the higher sales costs that we have for compensating top two revenues and maybe a bit of integration effects we'll have with the Exum business. Therefore, earnings is our main focus. We have to balance our guidance and the growth we could achieve via more sales efforts, which is currently something we are looking into every month, because we do see potential. We could add more sales, but at the same time, we want to reach the earnings numbers we have given. That's our tough part to do in the second half, combining these two. Okay, and there's one last slide, which is number 15, which is detailing the top two and the other clients a bit more. However, the table has not changed compared to the Q1 reporting. Therefore, no need to really go deep into the numbers. You do see that top two clients will decline, according to this table, by 31%. That's in the lower part of the table, top two clients, 18 versus 19. All other clients will grow by 23%, including Vineo. So our organic growth will be 17-18% from the GFT business. As initially guided, 2019 is a transition year for GFT, right? Strong reductions in our top two clients and strong growth in all other clients. Growth drivers are our exponential technologies, e.g. cloud, data analytics, etc. We see Guidewire trends and continued digitalization of banks. Overall, we are seeing first top-line growth since 2016, and profitability is stabilizing, which is important to us. Now growth in our other clients will bring back margins over time. All right, that's it for the Q2 or first half-year 2019 numbers. Ready to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Bérénice Lacroix from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Good morning, all. Thanks for taking my questions. I have a few questions, actually. The first one is on your revenue growth from other clients in the Americas and UK division. It has slipped slightly by around 3% on a quarter-to-quarter basis. I would like to know the reason of such a slowdown. Maybe it's only due to lower billable days. The second question is on Banco Sabadell, which cut IT budget in Q1. Have you seen the situation normalizing with this client in Q2? How do you see the business with them in H2? And the last question on the Continental Europe division. Obviously, activity with Italian retail banks is going very well. Could you tell me what are the most growing markets in Continental Europe and the main drivers for H2 and the midterm? Thank you.
Hi, Bérénice. Yes, happy to answer all those. Other clients' revenue growth in the Americas, well, the slowdown, you're right, is a bit, but it doesn't look significant to us, so we didn't mention it. Therefore, it is linked to the number of billable days, yes, as you already indicated, because especially in Brazil and Mexico, we're working a lot time and material, which is hourly billing. And therefore, that might have been an impact. But the 3% do not make us nervous. Therefore, I was not mentioning this. Sabadell, yes, it normalized, but not on an increasing level as we had hoped. So it is normalizing on a slightly lower level than 2018 at the moment. And the outlook for the second half is not showing significant growth there. Therefore, maybe a bit, we do have some pipeline projects, so we could hit the H2 numbers of 18 again in 19, but the slowdown in Sabadell, which is not major, it's minor, but it is mostly linked to their UK organization, TSB, where they had all the trouble, which they are currently not putting so much IT investments into. Continental Europe, yes, the main markets growth coming from Germany, where we are growing by 15% in other clients, and Italy 10%, which is all other clients, where in some clients, UBI Banca, Unipol, we're growing by more than 30%, very stable business with Intesa San Paolo, while at the same time we saw a decline in Monte dei Paschi, which is always a bit depending on what they buy on the daily rate, because Monte dei Paschi is anyway IT spending on a keep the lights on mode. Therefore, not much we can do with sales. But overall, Italy, very good performance, and Guidewire potential. Same is true for Spain, Guidewire potential, which should enable us to come back to the growth rates we have been expecting for the local business.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome. More questions?
The next question comes from the line of Andreas Wolf with Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. It's Andreas Wolf, Warburg Research. The first question is the obvious one. So obviously Deutsche was in the media recently. Have you seen any changing customer behavior here, especially in the investment banking area? They're cutting quite severely. So has anything changed for you here? And with regard to the restructuring charges in H2, could you remind us what the charges were last year and what we should expect for H2 then for this year? And then with regard to the industrial sector, do you see the necessity to acquire or the opportunity to acquire some subsidiaries or some entities that might boost your business here? Thank you.
Yeah, happy to answer. Good morning. Deutsche Bank in the media. Well, when are they not? But besides that, we have seen name changes, which is important, right? And especially on the IT side, we will see a new head of digital coming from the company SAP, former board member of SAP. So we truly hope that on the IT side, they're spending into the digital trends will again restart. But that is still to be awaited because Mr. Leukert is not yet even at Deutsche's board. Overall, you're right, investment banking probably takes the biggest hits, but we have been heavily out of the parts of investment banking that are now being hit strongly, which is the US. In the US, we've been already reducing, slowing down our own business, and therefore, nope, there's no need to change our forecasted guidance because of the Deutsche Bank news we saw. It was like 4 weeks ago, I think, right? So we still feel comfortable with what we said back then. It was in line with what we have expected. All this said, small disclaimer, Deutsche is still Deutsche, and they've been performing a bit hard to predict in the last 12, 18 months. So there's always something that could happen. From today's perspective, we feel comfortable with the guidance we've given. H2 restructuring, yes, let me give you the numbers. So we are expecting roughly 1 million for the second half of 19, and it was 700K in the year before. So you see the gap is only 300K, that's minor. That will come from further restructuring compared to 2018. And last but not least, industry business. Well, we took this opportunity by acquiring that little company, which was a subsidiary of our client Trumpf, and took them on board. And now we are working for Trumpf and other clients with them. Yes, we are looking into adding more, but always quite small organizations into our organization, into GFT, to offer further industry, well, offerings in the end, right? And have more tech experts with industry knowledge. So this will happen. We're looking into that, but don't expect anything big, because anyway, there's no big IoT company in the market, right? These are all quite small plays, and that's what we're looking at. But don't expect anything to happen in 2019.
Thank you.
Welcome. More questions?
The next question comes from the line of Robin Brass with Hauck & Aufhäuser. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanking you for letting me on. First question is also regarding the Exum contribution. Is the 3 million already in 2019, or is it for on a full year basis, so basically probably in 2020? And the second question is all regarding, again, the guidance, especially looking at EBT. I guess, I mean, on revenues level, you look maybe even a bit slightly ahead of guidance, but on EBT, of course, especially H1, with all the restructuring costs, you be way below half of the EBT level. So how do you see the visibility here to reach 80 million, even if you maybe have some FX effects, for example? So because this is something you cannot control. If you have negative FX effects, is that a risk for your guidance on EBT level?
Okay, so as you ended with a question mark in your sentence, right? Let me answer the second question first. Guidance on EBT, yes, you're absolutely right. FX, of course, is something that could influence our final outcome. And currently, we see a bit of changes, especially in the pound. So far, we've been in line with previous year. So that is a risk. We can't give you in numbers at the moment. But overall, we believe the 11 million we still need on the EBT level is the number we can achieve in the second half, right? With the revenue growth we're seeing with the other clients, with the trends we have. So we feel comfortable with the number as is and at hand. But FX is a remaining risk to be seen. Your first question, Exum, 3 million, that is for the second half of 2019. So on a full year basis, it should be roughly the double that number for a full year. But for the second half 19, 3 million is what we expect.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one at this time. The next question comes from the line of Dustin Mildner with Pareto Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I've got only one left. Regarding Vineo, if we have a look at Q1, Q2 revenues, Q1 was obviously a good quarter. Q2 was a bit slower in terms of revenues or a bit below. Nothing too serious, I guess, at this level. But maybe you could give us some flavor on how you see the developments there, whether this is this had some seasonal effects or how Vineo runs according to your expectations or what's the current state, so to say. And maybe you can give some additional ideas on the progress in Europe you made, especially with regard to the insurance business. Maybe in the background of the recent deal with Massif you have signed.
Yes. Well, in Vineo, we have one separation of numbers we have done because the La Massif contract we signed with GFT France, right? We started a company in France a couple of months ago, right? And we're showing revenues there. The Vineo numbers you're seeing is excluding the GFT business in France. So overall, Vineo is doing very well. We're 25% up compared to the year before. But part of the revenue we now show under GFT because it was won under the GFT flag, and therefore part of the La Massif business, which is shown in GFT France, should be added to the Vineo numbers. But we say Vineo business is the classic business coming out of Quebec, the base of today, while the new one business is new people, partly delivered from GFT Poland, and therefore it is a bit hard for you to analyze the combined Vineo contribution, right? What we show under Vineo is the Vineo entity. If you add France, it looks far better. And that's probably driving your question in the end. We do see a strong trend. We see La Massif project ongoing. We have more in the pipeline in Europe. That's why we started the competence centers in Poland and in Spain. But pipeline is still pipeline, so things to be won. But the Guidewire offering is very attractive. And what we're doing at La Massif is implementing the cloud version of Guidewire, something that so far in Europe nobody has implemented. So that will be a lackmus test. And then, obviously, a very good reference for other insurance companies in Europe, because this is, as always, right, the cloud version of a software suite is the end game. Everybody would like to get to one day. Don't have it in your data center, have it outside. And therefore, this is a highly attractive project to us. Of course, as always, with its ups and downs, sometimes a bit faster, a bit slower, but we do see a lot of interest from other clients in Guidewire, and especially in the Guidewire cloud suite. So therefore, no, Vineo is doing fine. You would have to add France, and half of the French business that you see has been done out of the GFT entity, and the other half we show under France is delivered from Canadian resources, so inside the number we call Vineo at the moment. Sorry
right,
for
that's very helpful.
Making
Thank
it
you.
A bit complex. Yeah, you're welcome.
Are there any
More
further questions?
Questions?
Please press star followed by one to ask a question. And there are no further questions registered at this time. I hand back to Dr. Jochen Rütz for closing comments.
Thank you very much, everybody. Thanks for joining today. Busy day, I know. Market is busy. We will hear again in November with the Q3 numbers. Have a good holiday season and hear you all soon. Bye-bye.